We're back in the game room talking to some of the people who are running this idea. The Chicago TARDIS is so full of interesting people. You can meet a lot of people playing some board games here in the game room.
Exactly. And it seems like that they got started running game rooms back in college when they were students. And let's talk to them a little bit about sort of how that kind of created the community and how that evolved to where they are now.
Brandon Shea and Libby Donahue, welcome to Too Much Scrolling.
Thanks. Hi.
So tell us first, you are fresh out of college, you are wonderful parts of the community, and we have this community here at Chicago TARDIS where you are the head of the game room and producing so many things. Do you love standing in this room and seeing all these people first?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We get to be the room where people come to relax, people come to have fun. You know, when they're between panels, they've got some extra time to hang out with their families, make new friends, see, you know, some of the games that we're able to come up with. And almost all the games that we play in this room are games that the staff came up with and created themselves. So it's cool to be the room where people come to be happy and to relax all weekend. So
yeah. And I think the coolest thing about the game room is we're able to expand on their Doctor Who experience at Chicago TARDIS. So while most people will come for the panels, the guests, and everything, if they want just like that little pushover, they come over here and they experience brand new Doctor Who games. They experience role-playing games and that whole world that is now open.
You got started in running game rooms back in college. Did you play games before that when you were in high school? Tell us a little bit about that.
So we both got started with role-playing games in college because of Nick, actually. He grabbed us into his campaign, and we just started playing from there. As far as board games and card games, I like board games and card games. Used to play them all the time with my family, but here it's a lot more dedicated towards Doctor Who.
So are you video game players, too? Is that a different experience? Oh, she's pointing and smiling. Brandon, you're on the hot seat.
Yeah, I mean, before college, I think I was definitely more video game oriented. We were both introduced to Doctor Who during our college years by our friend Nick Seidler, you know, who's been a very much an advocate or a pusher of our Doctor Who experience in general. You know, he introduced us into learning about role playing games, learning about Doctor Who, learning about all these tabletop games, getting into creating our own games. Being on staff at Chicago TARDIS at the game room, sort of all these experiences we were introduced to by Nick Seidler, and we're able to take that and, you know, and bring it up to the next level and to create the experiences that that people you know, have come to value, I think, at Chicago TARDIS here. And
I love the fact that you said experiences, because that's what this convention is all about, is the experience of being in a group of people and getting to have communication. The game room is certainly one of the places where we have experiences. It's something that you can do together as a community to foster that love of this thing that is Doctor Who.
Tell us about the process of developing a game and, you know, how does it get started?
So most of the games in here are either completely original, like the Rory Adventure game, or they might be, you know, a makeover of a current game. So, like, we have Love Letters. One of our friends created the Love Letters Doctor Who version, which is just a copy over from the original Love Letters, but with a Doctor Who skin. We've got Memory Worm. That is a memory game, but mix in a memory worm, and all of a sudden you got to mix everything together. So taking inspiration from games that are out there that are our favorite games to play is really a big part of it. But really going back to Doctor Who and the episodes and finding out which, you know, which ones we like the best or which timelines we like the best, and trying to put that all into a game is really how it all starts.
And sometimes the games are kind of driven based on some of the guests that we know are coming to Chicago TARDIS. Sometimes we think that we want to drive an experience and, you know, maybe have our guests come and play a game that's made specifically for them. So it was last year, I believe, we had Strax. We ended up making a Paternoster Gang game. We had Perry and the Voice of K-9. So we made quick, simple games that kids could play, or you could come in and play in a couple minutes for each of those characters, which was just kind of like a Chutes and Ladder type thing or something similar to that. So sometimes it's driven based on who we know is going to be here, so we can, you know, kind of adapt to people's experience and say, hey, I know that you're here and you want to see their panels, get their pictures, autographs, stuff like that. You can also play a game that's based on their character as well. You know, we try to make it as adapted to them as well. So the Paternoster gang game we made, you're going around, you know, 19th century London, solving crimes, literally going from historical place to historical location, solving crimes as you go along. So, that's kind of how we go through our process. We figure out what kind of, sometimes it'll be, we figure out a mechanic that we think is cool, and we want to make a game that uses a certain mechanic. Or sometimes it's based on a character, and the sort of things that they did in the show will drive what the game we end up making, how it plays. So.
And I also think that aside from trying to focus on the people that are coming to the convention, you know, just as congoers, like what he was talking about with the K9 game, like we want to make it an experience for guests too when they come in here. So if they just stop in and say, oh, it's another game room, it's like, no, we have your character's timeline in a game. Come play with us. Come experience it yourself and get more immersed in Doctor Who. That you have, you know, the acting side of it, but now come join the fan side and see what we think.
So you started this in college. You sort of created your own fraternity. Are you guys still going back, and are you the legacies to the people? Do you have connections with this group currently playing?
Yeah, so we are the leads of the game room. We have another lead, Alex. She's also an alumni of MSOE. We go back, and most of the people, actually all of the staff members that we have in the game room that aren't necessarily leads, but we try and get current active students involved. So if they enjoy Doctor Who and we know that they're a fan, we're like, hey, do you want to come join this really cool thing that you're going to get a really good experience out of? And we've tried to carry over people. We've got a couple of people that carried over from last year that are on staff again. A couple of them left, and that's fine. That's all up to them. But we try and give as much experience with the amount of people that we can.
Nick does a very good job of being able to find people who are either Doctor Who fans or who he thinks would like it. So he introduces them, gets them, you know, kind of onto the trail of, you know, enjoying all these Doctor Who things, and that's how he gets them introduced and finds new people to come in and keep young faces coming to the game room, you know. Milwaukee School of Engineering students are almost the entire staff of the game room every year. So that's kind of one of the things that we're proud of, is that we keep these college students and alumni coming in to help keep these experiences coming for the attendees.
All right, so you all started by being introduced to Doctor Who. So for a person who's never watched Doctor Who or never experienced Doctor Who, how should they get started? Where should they start?
That is the biggest, my goodness, Chip, that is a huge question. You could ask every person in this convention and they would give you a different answer. So now you have the big question, what's episode one?
For us, it was Rose.
Yeah, we started at Rose. It worked for us, so we can't knock it.
But at the same time, we finished New Who, we kept up to date with everything that's going on, and we've actually restarted from 5. Okay. So because we knew the Fifth Doctor was coming, and that was the beginning of 5, 6, and 7, we started with the Fifth Doctor, and Tegan has quickly become one of my favorite companions. So definitely going back and making sure you watch everything to stay, you know, really up to date with everything that's going on with the Doctor Who timeline. Go back and watch, like, start with stuff that you can handle, and once you become completely immersed, which you will inevitably do, go back and watch Old Who and really learn the history of it.
Okay, so Tegan is your favorite, and she's here.
She's my favorite Old Who companion, yes.
Okay. So did you go up to her and tell her how wonderful she is yet?
I got to get a picture with her, and I freaked out when I got a picture with her. I didn't freak out there. I walked off and promptly freaked out. But I get to hopefully get the autograph later today or tomorrow. And at that point, usually the autograph is a point where they have a little bit more time than just a picture. And that's where I'm like, I just want to let you know you were great as this character, and I really appreciate what you've done. So that's the point where, like, I get to say, like, here's all of my love for your character coming at you at one time.
And one of the good things about being a young Doctor Who fan, one of the best things is that there's no real waiting, no real having to wait for a new season or a new week.
True.
It's like, oh, I love that episode, and it left on a really bad cliffhanger. Let's watch the next one right now. Right. Or we just finished The Doctor, and it's a whole year hiatus right now. Let's watch Old Who. It's like, so
we
get to experience as quickly as we want to go through all this 50 years of Doctor Who that exists in the world, 50 plus years now. So,
yeah.
Doctor Who, the waiting is the hardest part. That is for sure. So we'll see what happens with the next season coming up with the 13th Doctor. Christmas is going to be rough, and then we'll see what happens.
Any predictions?
Oh, jeez. My goodness.
I did call that the 13th was going to be female,
we know
and
that,
I was so happy to have been right.
Yep, and we know there's going to be three doctors there, at least.
Yes. For the Christmas episode.
Yeah. Yep. So it'll be 12, 1, and 13.
And I think Bill's coming back, too, if I'm not mistaken, for the Christmas.
That's the rumor. Yeah.
That's the rumor.
Yep.
So I know as much rumor as anybody else, and I'm holding fast to those and waiting for Christmas.
Yeah, we haven't been disappointed by any of the new Who Christmas specials, so... we're just excited and ready for it. So.
Wonderful. All right, Brandon and Libby, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. We are so happy that you're here and presenting this material to all of these people who are here playing your games. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.